You're listening to the Finding Your Future in Food Systems podcast, hosted by the North American Food Systems Network. The North American Food Systems Network is a professional development association for people working to strengthen local and regional food systems. In this podcast, we present different businesses and organizations across Europe working to develop food systems in their communities and across the continent. In this episode, we'll be talking about the University of Gastronomic Sciences with Francesco. Our goal here is to introduce organizations that you may be able to learn from and get involved with. Now let's dive in and meet our guest.
Okay. Hi, I'm Francesco. I'm Francesco Anastasi, 32 years old. I am a former student of the University of Gastronomic Science, and I'm currently working at the university as recruitment manager. I'm originally from Sicily, Italy. It's a beautiful place where food is a great part of culture. You know, it's very important for us, food as Italian, but in South Italy, it's, you know, warmer people. The food is so important. The culture of food is so important. So when I firstly applied to the university, I discovered all new world. It was what it was outside my comfort zone and my you know, food culture and so on. And after, you know, I graduated at the university, I worked in the presidency office and in institutional relations and slow food movement with the president Carlo Petrini. And I got in passion, thanks to the university, thanks to the study trips that we do. I got in passion with cacao and coffee. And from 2015, I started trying specialty coffees all over the world. And I'm currently opening also my roastery in Turin with a direct trade from Colombia.
Oh, and amazing.
Yeah, and that's it. It's a, you know, it's a mix of thanks and passions that, you know, pump inside myself. And food is, you know, food is very important part of my life, not just in terms of passion, but also in terms of our times, you know, the timing that gives to my life in terms of health, in terms of sustainability, or in terms of also what I can do for the future generation, what I can do for myself, for my generation, and for the future generation, just choosing something better in terms of production, sustainability, and so on. So it's very important. It's a matter that really times my life in my daily life, and I think it's fantastic. I have this passion, you know. I always say I have a double enjoyment. I have the enjoyment of the food, you know, when it enters in my mouth, and I have the double enjoyment, you know, in my psyche, in my mind, in my, you know, spiritual, when I am enjoying a very good food or a very good situation around food.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. And what do you think food system is? Could you define that kind of phrase of food systems?
Yeah, it's not an easy question. It's a very open, you know, statement, food systems. But it's a very important for us to understand, I think, that we are in a complex world. We need to understand complexity. The last 50, 40 years, they were, as Western society, we focused a lot about specialization. You know, you have to be good in one thing and one thing only. So what is happening today in the companies, you know, also the companies currently are changing this model. No, they were from competence to soft skills. Once you have to be good to, you know, to be in engineering or to be a marketing manager, and, you know, that is your part. Nowadays is much more about understanding the context, understanding the complexity. And I always say, for example, the one of the best, you know, things that university left me is the power of understanding the context. So you can, you know, you can talk with an economist, you can talk with a producer, you can talk with a historian. So it's really understanding the complexity. So food system is complexity. It's understanding all the links, all the connection the food has when it's produced, when it's consumed, when it's stored, when it's moved from a place to another. and understanding how all this connection gives us, you know, gives us a way to understand that food, a way to understand that food and to, you know, and to do a choice. I would buy that food or no? I would buy that apple that come from the other part of the world, even if, you know, it's a organic apple, but, you know, it comes from Argentina. I don't know. There is always, a choose that we have to do in food system. This complexity also means that how really, you know, I think one of the big questions is how much really the food systems impact to the world. And if we look at all the connection the food systems has, the food systems, you know, have, the impact is huge. We need to be much more responsible on that. We need to, you know, look forward and look into what is, you know, what's behind the food, what's behind. And I can, you know, I do myself with coffee, for example. There is a very, very easy, well, today it's a commodity, for example. Coffee is a commodity, it's not food anymore. And for example, I know my producers. I know exactly the cost. I know exactly what they're facing when rains come in a different season and how this will affect the production and how, you know, all these things are part of a product that will be consumed from, you know, someone that maybe will not understand what's behind, but at least traceability, and giving the right information, it's an important step for understanding better the food system to normal people, to, you know, to the general audience.
Yeah. And for people that have never really thought about traceability or kind of thought about food in this way, how do you think that will become, you know, more popular or more of an interest to people? Or for those that kind of just look for coffee, for example, a lot of people just go to the store, grab the coffee that's closest or maybe the cheapest to them. How do you think that would change in the next 5 to 10 years?
I always say that there are some part of the coffee chain, mm-hmm, that are so dark that we need to turn the light on. There is, you know, there is the huge necessity to turn the lights on so many, you know, dark spots of the different food chains. Mm-hmm. And this is what traceability does. And when someone starts to trace the product and show to the general audience, at the very end, there will be a part of this audience that is interested to understand and is happy to know what it's behind, what it's eating. And so about that, we are lucky that there is always more interest. The new generation are more interested about sustainability, about knowing what is happening, you know, understanding how we got in this situation, because we have so many benefits, you know, coming from the last generation, but we are also the heritage of the last generation. Sometimes could be scary if we think about climate change, if we think, you know, so many things that are not going the right path. And so there is this huge interest in understanding how we got here, what's behind that. So I think this is changing the market. And when, you know, it's a double-faced thing. Change the market means, you know, good news for us, good news for the people who is fighting. At the same time, changing the market means also that the companies, they look an interest to be more traceable. So, you know, it's a good way. It's a good thing. It's a good thing also if the market change in a different, you know, without the ethical push, the ethical sprint, they do, of course, for profit, they do for the market. But I think there is always more an influence also in the big industries and the big companies about the importance of how our food is impacting the climate, recycling products, and sustainability of the food chains and so on. So it's important. This gives us the way to put more information in a level and, you know, to always more understand about our product, hoping that this will take us in the right path for turning on a lot of lights. Yeah. For turning on a lot of lights so many different food chains, and I can name a few, like livestock production, you know, livestock, if we talk about, you know, cows and chicken and pigs, what, you know, all this kind of livestock, for the pollution and for the timing, you know, the timing of growing these pigs or chickens. We can talk a lot of, you know, food commodity chains, like coffee, like wheat, like corn, and so many other things that we need to turn a bit of the lights on. And especially to give the right value to the producers. Yeah. Because there is a bit of not understanding, not having, you know, not seeing, because it's a dark room. You cannot really understand what's the right value for a producer, what is not. So I think turning this light is very important to make you understand, oh, we're just giving like a few cents to that man or to the woman producing that. No, that's not fair. So we hope this will be also the reaction of the market to this, you know, to labeling, to traceability, and so on. I'm very, you know, optimist on that. I'm very, you know, we need to be optimist on that, even if, you know, big companies are pushing a lot, but we need to be optimist and try to influence as much as we can the big companies to change that.
Yeah, being optimistic is definitely the way to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so now can we talk about the University of Gastronomic Sciences? Could you give a little bit about the history of the school and what the school kind of aims to do and what makes it so special?
Absolutely. I love this part because there is a big connection between what we were talking about and what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because the University of Gastronomic Science of Polenzo, we are in a very small village, a remote village close to Turin, 150 kilometers from Milan. So we're talking about the northwest of Italy. And the university was founded by Carlo Petrini, who also is the president of Slow Food International, a movement that defends three important pillars. There is biodiversity, food education, and food advocacy. And the creation, you know, the idea of the university comes from, you know, this kind of pillars, comes from a certain point of the life of Carlo Petrini and the life of the movement. So the food, they were in a very good moment. They started in 1987 in Italy and 1989 international level. After more than, you know, 11 years of promoting good food, regional food and so on, they did a switch. You know, something happened and they understood, oh, to promote good food, we need to absolutely to defend, you know, producers, biodiversity, and not all, you know, all the food chain that we were talking about. And how do we pass all this information to future generation? How do we change the world? And so I was not here, but I worked, you know, a lot with Carlo, and, you know, I sometimes picture, you know, this image of Carlo and the first team that was left would say, how do we change the world? You know, some ideas pop out and, you know, we can do the things, we can organize first all over the world, we can do marketing and so on. And Carlo said, what about an academy? Why don't we do something to teach practices that goes in the direction of, you know, good food and understanding? So in 1997, he started to ask, you know, a few friends, a few producers, ask, you know, looking for some feedback, you know, what do you think? And it was also a good timing to do that, because, you know, it was before 2008, you know, the crisis and all the things, you know, there was still, the economy looked so healthy, you know, in Italy in 2000. So in 2004, they officially founded the university. And the University of Gastronomic Science, also this name, it's very important that, you know, the science of gastronomy. Gastronomy, it's a complex matter as the food system. I think for us, gastronomy is the word to translate food systems. Gastronomy is a complex matter. Gastronomy is all the things about food. It's chemistry, when you have to cut your food, you know, I put in a pan with olive oil and cooking. It's history, it's geography, where, you know, that food come from. It's food process, you know, how what's the process? How do we do that? But it's also philosophy, anthropology, it's also economy, it's also, you know, political economy. How food is influencing and lobbying, you know, our companies are doing lobby, you know, to change and to influence, you know, in the markets some products. So the University of Gastronomic Science now almost 20 years, was founded in 2004. And it's beautiful studying all these matters, you know. So we have food as a central topic, and then we have all the subjects around. So we study food at 360 degrees. We have three pillars. One important pillar is food, of course. So the didactic part all around food. The second pillar are the study trips. We believe in this didactic approach of understanding what you are studying, looking at that, knowing producers, knowing companies, and visiting places that will change also your expectancy, that will change your life when, you know, after you see that. Especially, I would say, especially for us, the Western world sometimes is so easy to go and call for a red wine, you know, in our fancy bar, or a good cheese, or a good coffee. After you see a plantation of coffee, maybe, and after I saw a plantation of cacao in Ecuador during one of my study trips, I say, man, I need to understand a lot about this topic, because I couldn't believe that there were producers that didn't know the taste of the chocolate.
Wow. So, that's insane.
Yeah, that's insane. That is what is still happening today in Africa. Absolutely. A lot of people, they don't know the taste of their chocolate or their coffee. So, and maybe that, you know, that bar could be bar that is sold for 99 cents in a very important brand in the supermarket, or sometimes could be a very high level or, you know, middle level chocolate, and they don't know the taste of that. So study trips are very important for us. And the third pillar is community. We are in a small village. We are in an international community. We have students from all over the world. We are still Italian. Sometimes we have Italian manners, but we are in an international community. We are so proud of that, because I think international students, you know, have been teaching us a lot in the last 20 years, and are still teaching us so many things, and sharing and exchange between the students, you know, Italian students and international students, but the international students are, and, you know, the resident staff, and, you know, and also the local community in Polenzo, in the near city of Bra. It's very important, you know, have been teaching us a lot in the last 20 years, and give us a powerful network of people that I always say, we speak the same languages. We speak the same languages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, the Spanish, you know, Spanish speaking people, you know, English speaking people, Italian, French speaking people. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we ask for a producer, or if we ask for a restaurant, or if we ask, you know, for a good podcast, or, you know, a good, you know, a master or an article, you know, we know what they mean. We know what, you know, the other people mean. So it's so beautiful to have this community of people. And we are aiming to make them more and more powerful. Also, because the goal was having students that in, you know, later in the future could have crucial role in, you know, in changing the food system. So I think that's the important role, you know, one of the best goals that we have as University of Gastronomic Science.
Yeah. And so you mentioned it's an international school, but could you kind of go into more of who studies there and who can attend, and what type of programs do you have in terms of undergrad or master's or graduate programs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have currently, you know, we change some products also looking at the market, but currently we have, let's say, around 9-10 programs. We have just one undergraduate program. It's a 3 years bachelor in gastronomic science and culture. I would say it's the more vocational program. You know, it's people 18, 19 years old, if we are talking about, yeah, Italian, European students. So we also have a student, you know, that are 30, 40. I personally, I had a colleague there, she had 65. I loved her. She was really, she was focused on that. And for us, it's a very vocational program because it's gastronomic science. It's what we mean for gastronomic science. So it's 3 years they study, as I told you, the food at 360 degrees. So from food production to geography, from anthropology to ethnobotanic, from, you know, philosophy to nutrition. So they have a bite of all these, you know, different subjects. And after 3 years, there is people already going the, you know, in the job markets, people that still, you know, keep studying, you know, maybe a specific topic, people that decide to do, you know, other things. And so this for us is a, you know, it's the core of our program. We have 104 spots available every year. Then we have a graduate program in food management and sustainability. Is much more focused on, you know, the companies and, you know, the impact that we can give in a company. So it's a graduate program. It's a 2-year graduate program. What in Italy we call it magistrale. It's what 120 credits is what you need if you are looking to go over for a PhD. And then we have, currently we have 6 master programs, and it's so much fun because we have, it's all, we say the oldest programs, the graduates are gastronomes. Yeah. But there is specific, you know, things that change from program to program. So we have a master in food culture and mobility. We have a master in food culture, communication and marketing. One in agriculture, one in wine and spirits. One in new food thinking that is all about creativity, education, art. And we have also one in, I think this is, you know, this the last one is very cool. One in applied gastronomy and culinary arts. Because in, you know, in all my explanation about the gastronomic science, I didn't mention that we are not a cooking school. At the end of the day, we are not a cooking school. Yeah. Because we believe a lot, you know, cooking schools are, you know, it's something different. We believe in food, all, in all the other part of food, in all the theory of food and so on. I would say for the Anglo-Saxon world, it's much more food studies, what we call it, food studies. But this master in applied gastronomy and food in culinary arts, it's going through and really understanding the process of food. So cooking, fermentation, conserving, and so on. I would say it's beautiful eating pizza in Italy. If you go to Naples, you know, and understanding the Instagram, you know, Instagrammable pizza places in Naples, but it's much more, you know, it's much more cool understanding how the gluten net will affect your digestion after you eat a whole pizza, you know, during the night in Naples. You don't have to wake up in the, you know, during the night and drink a lot of water just of a, you know, bad fermentation of the pizza, or, you know, the master in applied gastronomy studied these kind of processes, and that's the only master, you know, it's the only program that we have where there is 50% of theory and 50% in our food lab to make, you know, the our, you know, our approach is very, you know, experiencing approach, so to make the students understand what they're studying. So those are the program currently in our university, you know, September, October for undergraduate and graduate, 2-year graduate. And then we have October and March for the master programs. And I would say one of the best things of the master programs, especially, is that we have so many students that comes from us, so different backgrounds. You know, there is a biodiversity of students in our university that is, you know, I love that. I really love that. It's incredible how many different backgrounds. When I was saying the students have been teaching us, I was, you know, this is what I was referring to. So it's beautiful to have people. There is an architect or, you know, a journalist or an anthropologist that comes, you know, in passion with food and decide to understand more about food and does a master in world food culture and mobility to understand more about all the, you know, food sustainability, migration, and so many topics, and also tastings, and also, you know, understanding food. And it's so beautiful to have so many backgrounds at the university that after 1 year, there will be our alumni, there will be our graduates, and they, you know, influencing, you know, even if it's a little gourd in the ocean, you know, a spill of, you know, all these things that we have to change. It's very important to us to have in so many different sectors and you know, and jobs.
Yeah. So a background in food is not required for someone to want to attend the university?
Absolutely not. I would say in the recruitment office, when a potential student asked me, I don't, you know, actually, I don't have, you know, any background on food. And I would say, are you in passion with food? Why are you attending? I would say the motivation and the passion is the most important thing that we're looking at. Also because it's not easy to have a background in food. And I would say, it was very challenging for us in Italy mm-hmm. to have the official recognition of the Ministry of Education, because food was always looked up as a subject that were between medicine, agriculture and nutrition or food or law or maybe economy. So there were, you know, there were programs that were, you know, with three different branches, four different branches. Mm-hmm. And we thought was a bit confusing because for us, food is, as I told you, gastronomic science is 360 degrees. So there is no need of background. There is no need of any background in food. But we do need motivation. We do need passion about food, about, you know, people behind food, because I tell this to the candidates. If you are coming here without passion, you know, it's the wrong place for you. It's definitely the wrong place for you. So
yeah,
we believe that it is so important. Also because let me tell you, passion touches that part of the emotional side of a human being. There is much more than a competence. There is much more of a resume, whether it's, you know, I'm a gastronomer, I studied food processing. It's, you know, your eyes sparkling because you are in the right path, because you saw that the direction for your company to support that project, support that producer. When a producer come, and explain the product, my eyes are sparkling when I talk to coffee producers in Colombia. I say, wow, I need to support this project. I need to support this plantation, and so on. So that's what it does, the big difference now. That's also in the market, in the job market. When we talk also about careers, I know I was telling you this. Always more HR are looking for people with soft skills, with passion, you know, yeah. With adaptability, with resilience. But really, in this place, in this sector, as you know, the food sector, we need people with passion to understand what is happening, and especially because it's a market, as so many others, that is changing so quickly that you need to understand what is happening, you know, and your passion has to still remain fresh and, you know, and alive. So this is the most important thing also for the future of the potential students at the university.
Yeah. And what type of roles do you see graduates kind of go to afterwards? Like, what can one kind of maybe see themselves doing afterwards, career-wise?
So I would say for this question, for the master programs, a lot depends by the background, because there are so many students who come, they are journalists, they are economists, and they decide to go in depth of the food world to apply previous background in a food system, in a food job related. Regarding the gastronomic, the gastronomes come from the undergraduate of the 2 year graduate. There could be, you know, bias in the companies. There could be marketing and communication. There is a crucial role nowadays, social media, and, you know, delivering the right message to the people we were talking about. I'm sorry if I'm pushing to this, you know, this topic, traceability. To understand traceability, you need to deliver also the right messages through social media, through your blog, through, you know, LinkedIn, from whatever is your way to communicate. So it's very important to have people in that sector. We have several students that open their own projects from, you know, they become entrepreneur. A lot of people go in restaurants sector, from catering to the wine sector, sommelier, they work in restaurants, they own restaurants. They do some consultants for restaurants about menus and, you know, like buyers, as I told you. There is a, you know, for this kind of talk or topic that we touch, a huge market is also non-governative organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I was referring before previously to Slow Food, but there are so many local organizations, and we need to help them absolutely to do some, you know, great lobbying for influence the food systems. So we need people with competence, we need people with passion in that sector, a lot of passions. And there are international organizations, but there are also local organizations. And a crucial role would be also being in public administrations and so on, going and, you know, and let me say in a part of the food policies and so on. A lot of municipalities, not just in Italy, they're pushing their more people in their food policies, because it's a topic. It's, you know, yeah, the last 20 years is one of the best topics. And let me say, it passed from MasterChef to food policy. So I'm very happy because I understand, the TV shows about food, they also have a role to raise some awareness.
Right.
I think it's important that they raise the attention. Now it's time to go into the essence and, you know, talking about food policies, traceability.
Yeah.
And food systems. So I think I'm very happy to, you know, to be here at this podcast, because these two words are so easy and so,
yeah,
but so complex at the same time, and we need to understand more, use time. I think I know it's scarce society to use time to understand, but right, we need to, you know, go deep on this, on the meaning of this, of these words, and understand much better the importance of these two words to analyze and change sometimes very small things that can have, right, a big impact in all the chain.
Yeah. So kind of two follow-up questions to that. So you mentioned a lot of the students come from many different backgrounds. If you could give advice to someone that is maybe in a career in economics or whatever, but they're kind of thinking of shifting to have that relate to food systems, but they're not sure about that leap yet. So what advice would you give to them? And then question number two is, why the University of Gastronomic Sciences as compared to maybe a different food systems university? Like, what makes the University of Gastronomic Sciences so special? So two questions. I know it's kind of big, so feel free to tackle that however.
Okay. So question number one. No, let me say question number two.
Yeah, okay.
Question number two. The University of Polenzo is a magical place. And I think that's what, there is some magic. There is some magic that was created from a background of people that wanted to understand a lot about food system and had a great passion to change the world. So I think all the heritage of the Slow Food movement, it's still very important for us, because we are based in an area in a beautiful food, food area. We are close to Barolo wine production, Alba, Barolo and Barbaresco wine production. Piedmont is an incredible, region for food. It's a magical place for food. And, also from the anthropological point of view, it's incredible to visit a producer or a restaurant in Piedmont and then one in Naples. I always say that food is, for Italians, food is what for Latin people is dancing and, and the rhythm. It's a central life. It's a central point of your life. So we have that kind of passion, and the Italian background gives that passion. And then this way of looking into science and looking to food process, also with a different with a different eye. There is not the conventional way of doing agriculture, but looking especially to agroecology, for example, as looking to a different system. There is not the, the real system. Real is not the right word, but it's not the main system. It's not mainstream sometimes, but it's also to understand and to have the tools to understand there are different ways to do a thing, and this will impact change our food system. So we have this kind of things inside. I cannot say it's a magic place for us, and the students that comes from all over the world, gives more and more magic to this place. The passion and the energy, that vibe inside is so important for us, and it's touching us. I think it's a good virus. It's contagious. It's really contagious, and we push students to be in this way, because what we think that it's change the world, and and we really believe that. I really mean that. You just can listen to my voice, but if you could see my face, I really mean that. I really am passionate with these topics, and I believe this is the key to change the world. And this becomes the question to the answer to the first question.
Yeah, they're related.
If you are touched by my speech, you need to come to university and understand why you can change your career coming at the university. No, but just kidding. But I think if you come from a different background, our approach that is so holistic gives you also some different bites. So from tastings to food migration to food cultures, to food process, to visiting producer, to so many things that you enter into the future of food. You enter in this sector. You enter in this fully in this situation, and you have different tools to understand that using your background to work in the food sector. And I think this is a very smart thing to do, because food sector is so wide. We need people that understand economics in the food sector. We need people, that can write. We need people that can understand design in the food sector. This is very important things for packaging, for restaurants, for so many places. We need people, that understand history in the food sector. Absolutely, we need people that understand history in the food sector to understand how it's gonna be the future. So it's a good way, I think it's a great way to enter in the world. In 1 year, you will not become maybe the best gastronom, you will not, because it's a lot of experience that you need to do in the food sector, because all the wine connoisseur and all the coffee connoisseur, chocolate connoisseur, cheese connoisseur, you need to try a lot of wines, cheese and coffee before to call yourself an expert, but I mean a lot. So you will start in Polenzo, definitely you will start in Polenzo, because also your colleagues in your program will push you with their other passions they have. So that's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of sharing, and so I think this is the magic of this place stays in, you know, in this passion that we have, and also to open, you know, to be aware that food systems need it's a complex, as I told you, it's a complex matter and need complexity, and also in the job market. So we need people with a background in economics, in history, in production, in engineering, and so on. So that's a beautiful thing for us to have people, you know, with different background. We always look for people that have interesting background to join us at the university. And we are pushing to do better and better and to improve always more. I invite people to have a look at our website page, our Instagrams, to understand, you know, our community, and to, I hope, fall in love with our community.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I feel inspired.
And let me finish with this phrase. When there is a phrase that I'm stealing from our president, Carlo Petrini, when there is an open day, he attends every open day at the university. And he always say these things, you know, this phrase at the open days or the first day of your undergrad, and they say, okay, I know that you are confused, but let me tell you one thing. You will come out more and more confused than ever after this program. And something, you know, the first 5 seconds you are like, oh, come on, guys, no, what are you saying? But then you realize after, you know, 1 year of your master program, 3 years of your undergraduate, you understand how beautiful is this confusion, because it's not confusion, it's really that your mind, you know, blow up and is more open than ever, that you wanna, that you put always more things, you know, if you don't know how to process, yeah, it can be confusing. But if you learn also to process that information, it becomes very, very important. And this is, I think, an important thing to understand, to solve the challenges of the world, the challenges of food systems, and to hope in a future that will be more sustainable in terms of food production.
Wow. That was beautifully put. Thank you. Well, that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Finding Your Future in Food Systems podcast. And thank you so much, Francesco, for sharing more information about the university. Be sure to check out their website. And you can find us at foodsystemsnetwork.org, where you can also find all of our social channels. If you're interested in being featured on the podcast or know an organization that would be, please feel free to email us at kim@foodsystemsnetwork.org. We'd like to give a special thank you to the composer of our intro and outro music, Bo Vincent. And thanks again for listening, and see you next time.
No, thank you for inviting me to this podcast. Please have a look at the page of the University of Gastronomic Science of Bolenzo, our Instagram. And we would love to, you know, to invite you for an open day, for a visit of our university. We would love that. So we are here looking for you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Ciao.